would to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Drink. The name of the message is Fixed and Trusting. Fixed and Trusting. Psalm 112. We'll read the whole psalm here. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness, A good man showeth favor and leadeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He hath the spot, he has dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away the desire of the wicked, shall perish. Now in this psalm, as we look at the psalm tonight, we'll see the blessedness of God's children. The blessedness of God's blood-bought saints. Those who have been made righteous by the righteousness of Christ. And studying this psalm will cause the believer in Christ to rejoice. To rejoice in their God. To rejoice in His goodness. To rejoice in His mercy. And we know that all comes to us, to we who believe, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our main text will be found in verse 7, but let's look at the whole psalm first before we consider verse 7 by itself. Verse 1 says, Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Now the psalmist exhorts us to praise the Lord. You who fear the Lord. You who fear the Lord. And we know that only those to whom Christ has been revealed fear the Lord. And it's a reverent fear. It's not a slavish fear. It's a reverent fear. Because we know Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we who fear the Lord, we who have been taught to fear the Lord, we ought to praise Him. We ought to praise Him. And we ought to give Him thanks. And may our hearts be swept away in thanksgiving to our great God and King for the mercy which has been given us, for the grace which has been bestowed upon us, and for the redemption of all our sins by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the fact that the redeemed are blood-bought saints purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Let us also fix our eyes upon the Savior here. In this verse here it says, Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. So let us fix our eyes upon the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it can only be said of Him that He delighted to do the commandments of God. It can only be said of Him that He delighted to do the commandments of God. It's written in the Psalms, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Thy law is written, or Thy law is within my heart. And this speaks of Christ. He delighted to do the will of the Father. He came here to do the Father's will. In the Master's words, turn if you would over to John chapter 4, verse 34, tie right in with the statement in Psalms where he says, I delight to do thy will, O God, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And ties right in here with, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Look at the Master's words over in John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do what? The will of him that sent me. To do the will of him that sent me. And to finish his work. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Now note that word, finish. What did he cry upon the cross? It is finished. So if something's finished, what does that mean for us? We who believe. That means the work is done. It's finished. Oh, what a joy salvation by grace alone brings the sinner. Because this is a completed work. We are complete in him. Christ alone is holy. Christ alone is undefiled. Christ alone is separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. And this was spoken of Jesus in his human nature, which is united to the uncreated Word of God. God became flesh. God and man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and both the uncreated Word of God and Jesus Christ, who's man, form one Christ, don't they? One Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to do the Father's will and to finish it. And why did he come here? To save his people from their sins. That's good news for sinners. That's wonderful news for sinners. The question is, are you a sinner? Has God shown you that you're a sinner? I pray that he will. I pray, because that's what he shows every single one of his blood-bought saints. Now, you who are beloved of God, you who are a saved sinner, contemplate who your Savior is. God incarnate in the flesh. Contemplate his holiness. He's the Word of God. Contemplate his righteousness. He lived upon this earth a perfect life. No sin in thought, no sin in word, no sin in deed. Contemplate that he's our Redeemer. That he purchased us. He purchased his people. He didn't die for everyone, like religion tells you out there. He died, though, for his sheep. We saw that on Sunday. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Those are the ones for whom Christ died. Because later on in John chapter 10, he says, I give my life for the sheep. He died for his people. Praise God, the believing sinner, the one who's been born again of God, says, praise God that I was included. That he included me. Contemplate him as our surety. Contemplate him as our Savior. What does Savior mean? It means we need to be rescued. We need to be rescued. Oh my! And this will cause you to praise his name, beloved. Which, at the very first verse, praise ye the Lord. This will cause, when you contemplate these things, when you contemplate Christ, it'll cause you to praise his name. Look at verses 2 and 3. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. And his righteousness endureth forever. Now those who are redeemed by the Lord may not have a lot of gold and silver well upon this earth, but there is an inheritance that awaits us. There is an inheritance that awaits us in glory. And we know we can take nothing with us when we die, right? We know that. And one commentator said, possessions on earth are an empty show. An empty show. Because you can't take them with you. You die and someone else gets them. An empty show. But for the believer, we are rich beyond compare. Rich beyond compare. Beyond measure. I heard of a dear saint this week, and And somebody had said, well, by the time something gets fixed, we're going to be broke. And this dear saint said, I'm never going to be. I'm rich. She is speaking of her riches in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We're rich. Believers are rich in Christ. Now ponder this too. The world may scorn the believer, and they do. They do. But they are kings and priests unto God, and they have an inheritance in Christ, which neither moth nor rust can destroy, and no robber can touch. And it can't be spoiled. Now that's something to ponder. Because it's in Christ and Him alone. It's in the Eternal One. Our salvation is in Christ. Now let us keep an eye to Christ in verse 2. Who are the seed of this man? Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Y'all are going to get there before me. And look at verse 27 to 29. With an eye to Christ, when it says, His seed shall be mighty upon earth. Look at this. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. My goodness. The elect of God are the seed of Christ. Oh, it's incredible, beloved. It's absolutely. We're born again by Him, by the Holy Spirit of God. We who are redeemed are spoken of in Galatians 3:29. If ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now rejoice. Rejoice, beloved, because you are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in Christ. Now we can't be accepted on our own, but we are accepted in Christ. We can stand before God in Christ. So let's continue in this psalm and look at verses 4 to 5. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Now we see in this text that the heirs of heaven are not exempt from days of gloom and shadows, because shadows come over us just like they do anyone else. And bright rays may fade, but we need grace and strength, don't we? Continuously. Continuously. We need to keep our eyes upon Christ. In seasons of darkness, in trials, we need to keep our eyes focused upon Christ. We have to, we who believe. I know for me personally, I don't know if it's so for you, but for me, if I get my eyes, I've said it many times, on the circumstance, I get in a world of trouble. I have to constantly remind myself, Wayne, look to Christ. This did not catch God by surprise. That's one of Vicki and I's favorite things. When things come up, it didn't catch God by surprise. And it helps us to focus upon Him. To focus upon Him. So we need to keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord. And let us also, with an eye to Christ, remember that our Savior was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. When He went through this world, He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Let's look at verses 6 to 8 now. Surely He shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Now the believer in Christ stands immovable as a rock. But it's not in his own strength. It's not in his own strength. Because our confidence is firmly settled in Christ. Not in ourselves. It's in Christ. Our confidence is in God. We trust in the Lord. We don't trust in ourselves. We trust in Him. And messengers may come and announce calamities occurring all around us, and we don't tremble about them. We may be concerned, which is a good thing. We should be aware of what's going on, but we don't get worked up about them. Because we know God's blood-bought saints have been taught that all events are ordered and ordained by their Heavenly Father. And therefore, think of this, let's bring it right down to us, therefore, they work for our good and for His glory. That's what Scripture says. We don't always understand, but they do. That they do. Now, verse 7 is where we're going to be keying tonight, so we'll look at that verse more in depth later on. Let's now consider verse 9 and 10. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Again, let us focus our eyes upon Christ. In the fact that, look at verse 9, look at this. His righteousness, what? Endureth forever. Now we know that in our natural state that our righteousness is like filthy rags, right? So this is not talking about our righteousness. This is talking, though, about the righteous man, the one who's been made righteous. But whose righteousness are we clothed in? Christ's righteousness. And look at them. Look, marvel at this, beloved. Look at this. His righteousness endureth forever. Forever. So think of that. We stand in the presence of God clothed in the righteousness of Christ forever. It endures forever. It's a perfect, spotless righteousness. Oh my. And let us remember this. He wove that coat of righteousness when He lived on this earth. Because He was sinless, right? He was sinless in His life. And we know He was sinless in His death. And we know He rose. The reason He rose from the grave is because death didn't have a claim on Him. So He was sinless when He rose from the grave. He's perfect. That righteousness was for us. That He wove. He was weaving that coat of righteousness for His people. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. His righteousness is imputed to the believer. Our sins are imputed to Him, and His perfect, spotless righteousness is imputed to us. And look what the text there says. His righteousness endureth forever. Oh my. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So we will stand in the presence of God in glory, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and that righteousness endureth forever. Forever. God is absolutely satisfied. My goodness. What a salvation. What a salvation we have in Christ. And this gives the blood-bought saints of God great cause to rejoice. Great cause to rejoice. So let us now consider verse 7, but let's read it in the context with verses 6 and 8. 6 and 8. So we'll read 6 to 8. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. So I'd like us to consider verse 7 here tonight, which tells us that the righteous man, and that righteous man is identified in verse 6, right? He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. Oh, sorry, verse 6. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Let us consider verse 7 of this psalm, which tells us the righteous man, identified in verse 6, that his heart is established and fixed, trusting in the Lord, which we see now in verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Now, this confidence in the Lord, this rest in the Lord, this trust in the Lord is a result of a work of God. It's a result of the work of God, which has been done in the sinner. They are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And they there then fix their hearts upon the Lord. Now, how do we know that? Think back before the Lord saved you. Was your heart fixed on the Lord? Nope. I know the answer for every one of us. Nope. But now it is. He's given us a heart that seeks Him. My. We're born again. And this new heart we have, we cry out to Him in praise and glory, and we even sometimes cry, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Now the righteous one, the one whose heart is fixed, the one who's trusting in the Lord, the believer in Christ, has been made righteous by the Lord Jesus Christ. And think of this. Marvel in this. They're just before God. They're just before God. Sinners are made just. My goodness. And it's all because of the righteousness of Christ. Because Christ is our righteousness. And think of this too. This righteousness is perfect. Because our Savior is perfect. And this righteousness was not for Him because we know He's sinless. And so we know that when He lived upon this earth, again, He was fulfilling the law of God for His people in their place. In their place. My goodness. It's a righteousness of Christ and it's being imputed to the believer. And that's why you hear preachers say, look away from yourself and rest in Christ. Rest in Him. Lean on Him, who is what Scripture declares for the believer, the Lord our righteousness. That's what He is. He's the Lord our righteousness. Now note what is said of the ones who are called righteous. Look at verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Now, something I want us to realize is that the righteous man, the believer in Christ, before we look at further, is kept by the power of God. Is kept by the power of God. Left to ourselves, we would be moved. Left to ourselves, we would not be fixed. Left to ourselves, we would not be trusting in God. We would not be trusting in the Lord. But we who are born again are kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. We have a new heart, again, a new spirit within us. And that we are now fixed upon Christ. Fixed upon Him. He is the object of our faith. And He is the foundation of our faith. And it is in Him alone whom we trust. In Him alone. Our text proclaims, He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. And the answer to why the believer will not be afraid of evil tidings is also found in our text, because his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. So the righteous do not tremble and get worked up at wars or rumors of wars and different things happening or thinking that some great calamity is going to come upon us. No, we wait upon the Lord. We wait upon the Lord. Being aware that all that is going on around us, and we are aware of the situations, knowing that all that is going on around us is in His power. And we trust in the fact. The fact. Now let this burn into our hearts. We trust in the fact that He is in control. It's a fact. He is absolutely sovereign. And we, in reflecting on that, will help us as believers to go, we are in his hands. We're in his hands. Think of this. Where there is fear, there's no peace. Where there is fear, there's no peace. Where there is fear, there's no being fixed. There's no being fixed. And where there's no faith, there's no trusting. Now I can look back and go, yes, that's true. And think of this. The believer's faith is a gift from God. And that faith has one object. Christ. And Christ alone. And we are fixed upon him. We are fixed upon him. And this faith in Christ is given to us by God, who directs our hearts into the love of God and into patient waiting for Christ, whom our faith is fixed upon. And he gives us the peace that passes all understanding, doesn't he? I ask you who are redeemed, examine your heart. Do you not have a peace that you cannot explain? No matter what's going on. You try to explain it to people and you can't really explain it. But it's a peace that passes all understanding. And our hearts and minds are kept upon Christ, fixed upon the Lord. And so let we who are redeemed know that it is he, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, who is the guardian of our life. Now let us just let that sink in. He's the guardian of our life. Because he's the shepherd of our souls. And what are God's people called? His sheep. And what does a good shepherd do? He protects and watches and feeds and preserves the sheep. And we have the good shepherd as our Savior. He's the shepherd of our souls. And we are his sheep. Let us therefore remember that no matter what comes, he watches over us and he keeps us beloved. Now you who are redeemed, we who are the sheep of God, let us ponder these wonderful truths. It's God who chose you. It's God who chose you. It is Christ who redeemed you. It is God who sent the gospel to you. It is the Holy Spirit who called you. And it is God who has preserved you. And it's God who keeps you. And it's God who keeps you fixed, trusting in the Lord. And it's God who will one day call you home to glory. It's all him. It's all him. And when he calls us to glory, we'll be with him forever. So with that, let us consider the latter part of this verse. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Now the word fixed there in the Hebrew is defined as to be firm, be stable, be established, be fixed, to be firmly established, be secure, be enduring. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Again, let us have an eye to Christ here in our text. When we look at the life of our Savior, we see that he was fixed upon doing the Father's will. He came to save his people from their sins, and he did it. He was trusting God in his life and in his death. And it was He who fulfilled all righteousness. He fulfilled all righteousness and not we ourselves. And it was He who set His face like a flint to Jerusalem. It was He who did that. It was He who had His face set to the cross, knowing that that is the only way that His people could be saved. My, what a Savior. And Jesus, the God-man, God incarnate in the flesh, fulfilled all righteousness for His people. And again, it is His righteousness that the elect of God, the members of His body, are righteous. He being made of God to the believer, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And that's why a Song of Solomon says, His name is an ointment poured forth for the believer. Oh, a sweet-smelling fragrance for us. Because of Thy Savior, of Thy good ointments, Thy name is an ointment poured forth. Poured forth. That's why He's so sweet to the believer. Now let us bring this home. We who are believers in Christ, we are made righteous by the righteousness of Christ. And we are to be ready to meet fears and things which occur around us with faith, trusting, having our eyes fixed and focused upon our Savior, resting in our Savior, trusting in our Lord. Now our faith will be attacked. It will be. It will be. I think every one of us in this room has probably experienced that who are believers. And sometimes it comes from family members, and sometimes it comes from friends, and sometimes it comes from places you never expected it. But it will be attacked. When it is, let us flee to the Savior. Let us flee to our Savior. Let us trust in our Savior. Let us not trust in our own strength, but let us trust in Him, in Christ alone. And let us pray that God may give us grace and strength to trust Him. To trust Him. And let us pray that God will keep us, and that we will not be moved, and that we will have our faith fixed upon Him. And let us keep this in mind too, that it is God and God alone who can keep us fixed upon the Lord, who can keep us trusting in the Lord. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 11. And let us remember this too, it is God and God alone who has made us to differ. Now think of that. Think of your family and your friends. Who is it that's made you to differ from your family and friends as a believer? Well, we know the answers in 1 Corinthians 4:7, which says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as thou hadst not received it?" Who made you to differ? Christ. That's the only difference between me and my family and my friends is Christ and Christ alone. He's the only one who made me to differ. And I can't boast in anything because it's all His doing. My goodness. So let us consider here how it is the Lord who keeps us and not ourselves. Romans 11, we're starting verse 11. And we'll read to verse 24. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the dimension of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, that thou standest by faith, Be not high-minded, but fear. Now, there's a warning for every believer. We are not to be high-minded at all. Oh, my. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not, they abide still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Now this is speaking of natural Israel, the ones that are broken off, the unbelieving Jews. The unbelieving Jews. And spiritual Israel, the Gentiles, right? Or spiritual Israel being all the elect, grafted in to the vine. To the vine. But I'd like us to take note of something in verse 18, which I believe is profitable for us. Look at verse 18. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Now we ought to never forget where we came from. We ought to never forget, as Scripture says, the rock that we were hewn from. But look what it says, thou bearest not the root. We don't bear Christ, but the root thee. See, there's a key word there. But the root thee. The root bears us. Christ. He keeps us, beloved. We're the branches. And let us never forget, we who are the branches are dependent upon the vine. We spring out from the vine. We are dependent upon Christ continuously, all the time. And we are kept by Christ. We are sustained by Christ. And one day, praise his mighty name, we will be glorified by Christ. And we need Christ. And those who are kept by Christ are fixed upon him, trusting in him and resting in him. Now let's go back to our text, and here's a couple more thoughts upon this text. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Now the one who is trusting in God shall not be afraid to hear of public or national disasters or world disasters. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 107. Because we know who controls the wind and the waves. My God is sovereign. He controls it all. He controls it all. Look at Psalm 107, verse 23 to 29. Look at this. This is marvelous. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. Now, Brother John, you were on the great oceans we have. And look at this. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Now what a picture of salvation that is, eh? We cry out to God in distress when he's showing us what we are, sinners. By birth, nature, and choice, we cry out to Christ. When we're born again of the Holy Spirit of God, we cry out to him. And he bringeth them out of their distress. And look at this, beloved. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. He rules. He rules over everything, beloved. The wind and the waves and everything. So through all these calamities, the believer's heart is fixed and established upon the Lord, trusting him. Back to our text again. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. The believer in the trusting in the Lord shall not be afraid of tidings of persecution for the sake of Christ, knowing that the church of old was persecuted. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. And what did the Lord do? He took them all through that persecution, beloved. He took them all through that persecution, preserving them and sustaining them. And we know they're glorified now. They're glorified now. He kept them. My goodness. Look at this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now that doesn't mean there's a bunch of crowns waiting for you in glory. Who's our reward? Christ. Christ is our exceeding reward. He's wonderful. Oh my goodness. We have a great reward in heaven. Christ. Christ and Christ alone, because our faith is set upon Him. Upon Him. And through persecution and distress, the believer's heart is fixed and established upon the Lord, trusting in Him. Let's go back to our text again. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Now the one who is trusting in the Lord shall not be afraid of tidings of personal worldly losses and afflictions, knowing that their inheritance is in heaven. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. They can lose everything in the world, but know that their inheritance in heaven cannot be moved or defiled or taken away, because it's in Christ, beloved. It's in Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Now we have an inheritance, and it's in Christ, isn't it? It's in Christ. Look at this. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. Now, when you make a reservation at a restaurant, right, they set a table aside, don't they? And no one else sits there except the people that that table is reserved for. That's set apart for them. Oh my. The believer in Christ has an inheritance reserved for you in heaven. Look at this, though. Who are kept by what? By, you know, religion says, well, you're kept by your doing, don't they? That's not what the Scripture says. Who are kept by the power of God. Who are kept by the power of God. Oh, my. Through faith, we believe, we trust, we rest. Our hearts are fixed upon Christ unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So the believer may lose all worldly possessions, and their heart will remain fixed. And how do we know that? How do we know that? Well, Job. Job said this. Remember, Job lost all his children. He lost his wealth. And he proclaimed this. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now only God gave him grace and strength to do that. He is trusting in the Lord. Trusting and resting in Him. And the reason God often makes His people to hear evil tidings and to go through trials and tribulation is to try our faith. To try our faith and to try our trust in Him. But always remember that the Lord is ever with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's His promise to His people. Even in the midst of whatever situation that's come up. Let's go back to our text again. And then also put your finger, turn off, if you would, over to Isaiah 54. But we'll read this here. The verse again, it says, He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So the one who is trusting the Lord shall not be afraid of tidings of wrath and condemnation of the law. They will not be, the one who's trusted in the Lord, the one who's redeemed by the Lord, will not be troubled, not be afraid of tidings of wrath and condemnation from the law of God, because Christ has satisfied the justice and the law of God in the place of the believer. My, how? By his substitutionary death upon the cross. Shed his precious blood, redeeming his people, purchasing his people, purchasing their eternal souls. Look at Isaiah chapter 54, verses 13 to 17. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals and the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. That sounds like a God who's in full control. Look at this. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Look at that last verse, verse 17. And know this, that the believer is clothed in the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ. And note first of all in verse 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established. And then note verse 17, and their righteousness is of what? Of me, saith the Lord. The Lord our righteousness. My goodness. This is he whom the believer's heart is fixed upon, the Lord Jesus Christ. And their righteousness is of me. This points right to Christ. Right to Christ, saith the Lord. And we know that that's Jehovah. This is the one who the believer's heart is fixed upon. This is the one who established our righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ. Our righteousness comes from Him. And we trust Him. We live a life of trusting Him, looking to Him, being fixed upon Him as our Savior, our Redeemer, our King. What a Savior. What a God. And to think that the Lord Jesus Christ became a man, that I might be clothed in His perfect, spotless righteousness. And it's so for you if you're a believer in Christ. It's wonderful. What a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before Thee, humbled by the Scripture tonight, knowing that our righteousness, the righteousness that the believer is clothed in, is Thy righteousness, Lord Jesus, which You wrought out for us in Your life and in Your death. And, oh Lord, we marvel. We marvel that You left heaven to redeem Your people from their sins, knowing that we could never redeem ourselves from one sin, and yet You purchased our eternal souls, having paid for all our sins. And we are complete in Thee. May we leave here rejoicing in Thee and praising Your mighty name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.